Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. We're brought to you today by Warby Parker. I'll tell you more about them. I had a really good experience with them since we talked last. Today, you know, is kind of the beginning of the true offseason. There's a five-week stretch here, give or take, where there's just not a whole heck of a lot to discuss. So I am very much up for ideas on topics of shows. Will probably be about three a week until things start to pick up. Today, though, I'm going to rank the divisions 1 to 8, and then I'm going to take it another level, and I'll tell you about that when we get there. In the meantime, we haven't really discussed the signing of Macklin to the Ravens and now Decker to the Titans, both make an awful lot of sense to me, you know, and I think both players have a lot left in the tank. I don't see either as a true number one receiver, but probably never did. But I think both are high-quality number twos. The Titans are on the rise. They drafted Corey Davis. I think Decker would be a very good influence on him. Probably pushes, you know, Rashard Matthews down a peg. Also insurance if Davis doesn't come in and light it up immediately. So that three-receiver set, along with Delanie Walker, is pretty formidable, you know, with a really good run game, quarterback that I love. I think Decker's going to have a nice year. And the same's really true with Macklin. They were more wide receiver starved in Baltimore than I think Tennessee was, that's for sure. But, you know, and he kind of fell in their lap. I mean, to think about if you're the Ravens, that man, we really didn't address this wide receiver need very much. And Decker and Macklin are both available in mid to late June. That's a gift. My question with Macklin is, you know, I often talk about how Baltimore has, you know, the whoopee for Flacco and the deep threat. I'm not sure he's either at this point. You know, early in his career, I say he's a deep threat, and I think he is a good route runner and could develop into the move the chains guy. But beggars can't be choosers. You know, I mean, I think he'll lead the team in targets. I think he'll be their top receiver. They'll use him in a variety of ways. So this was a good pickup for them. I have no doubt in my mind. So what I'm going to do now is we're just going to count down from 8 to 1 how I rank the divisions. And these will change, you know. And you know, to me, the AFC East is the least, you know, I mean it that way. But obviously, to no fault of the Patriots, who are one of my power ranks and will be for a very long time. But the Jets are 32. So the combination of best and worst in this division is the dead, you know, it's as average as you can get. I mean, the best team in the league, the worst team in the league. And it seems rough to be, you know, the Patriots are so good, and I have such respect for them, and I do think they're clearly the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. To say that, you know, they're in part of the worst division in the league does seem a little rough, but I do think the Jets are in dire straits. I like what Miami's doing, but I don't think they're a contender. You know, I mean, there's only one contender in this division, and I've said it several times that if Brady retires today and Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback, the Patriots still win this division by two or three games. Miami might make the playoffs again. I do think they're, you know, a decent team, but in terms of ranking them against the rest of the league, I think they're a middle-of-the-road team. And the Bills, to me, are a middling team. You know, that it's an uphill climb for them to be competitive. They're rebuilding on the fly. They're changing how they go about doing things. So, I mean, I get that. I just don't think that they're going to be... I bet they pick in the top 10 again next year. So, there's not big distinctions between these divisions. But I have the NFC West. That might surprise some people as the seventh best division. And that was a close call because I am high on Seattle. And I've told you guys this quite a bit that I think New England stands alone. And then there's three or four teams in that next tier. And I feel like Seattle's amongst them. But I think the Niners are very Jets-like too, though. You know, that, for example, even the combination of the Niners and Seahawks, to me, is even worse than the combination of the Patriots and Jets, because the gap from Seattle to New England is bigger than the other way, than the bottom feeders gap. I do have some hopes for the Rams offense, but by that I mean it could be respectable, could show signs of life. I think Goff takes a step forward. I think the coaching staff and the supporting cast is better. I think the defense will be pretty good, but this is probably still a 6-win team. And I'm probably lower on the Cardinals than a lot of people. And I'm hearing good things about Carson Palmer, and I don't think he's done. And I think John Brown can rebound, and Johnson's a stud, and the O-line should be better. But I got D-line and corner questions on defense. There's a lot of playmaking ability there, and I respect that. But I think the Cardinals have kind of missed their window. And it's unfortunate, but I think that's probably where we'll be. I wanted to tell you guys about our friends Warby Parker. And just in a nutshell, you know how they give us these reads, but I wanted to tell you how that what they do, just from my own words and my own experience, is they gave me a promo code, and I go to the website, and there's all these frames that you can pick out, and I wear glasses, but I don't need them, so I got sunglasses. And for those of you that don't know, people, you know, scouts and people that do what I do for a living absolutely have to protect their eyes first and foremost. I mean, I could do my job from a wheelchair or with a broken arm or, you know, I have bad ankles, you know, but if I don't have my eyes, I can't do my job. I can't watch the games. I can't analyze. I can't tell you what I think. So, you know, when you're out there, practice is important, very, very important to have great, great sunglasses. And Warby Parker is exactly that. They're very, very high quality glasses. But what's cool is you go to their website and you pick 5 frames that you like. They send them to you. You get to try them on. I wore them around. My kids were like, okay, that one's way better than the other four. Send it back. And then the real version of the pair you pick comes in the mail shortly after. And I had to call customer service because my, you know, situation was a little different. They were phenomenal. So I just wanted, you know, all the glasses started at $95, and that includes prescription lenses. Really a cool deal. So here's what you do, you know, for this free try-home, and the try-on program is free. So you go to the free try-on program, you order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, and there's no obligation to buy at all. It ships free, they handle all the shipping. And you head to warbyparker.com/LONFL, and you order your free try-ons today. Glasses start at $95, that includes prescription lenses. Lenses include anti-glare, anti-scratch coatings, and I have my glasses now, and they're great. I wear them all the time. They're now my favorite sunglasses I own. For every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need, which is really cool, too. They're helping out, you know, across the world by donating glasses to people in need, and it's a wonderful thing, so that's good stuff. So you do the try-on kit, and it's pretty easy, really. So, but it's really, that's kind of their deal. They believe glasses should be viewed as a fashion accessory, like a bag, a shoe, a necktie, a hat. Make it easy and accessible. They don't think you should have to spend more than you do for an iPad or an iPhone for, you know, a pair of sunglasses. Crazy. So that's it. Go to warbyparker.com/LONFL. That's warbyparker.com/LONFL. And let me know what you think, because it's a pretty good deal. Now, the 6th-ranked division for me is the AFC South. And you'll find when we start doing division breakdowns and things, I'm pretty optimistic about Jacksonville. I don't think they're a bottom feeder anymore. I think good things are going on in Houston, especially defense. And we'll see with Watson, but, you know, I mean, it's got to be better than last year. And they have skill, and most people think they're the favorite for that division. The Luck, Hilton, Moncrief scenario to me is very enticing, and the defense is respectable. Everyone's buzzing about Tennessee, and we talked about them a little bit with Decker, and the defense looks a little better. The offense looks quite good. So this is sort of the young upstart, you know, whippersnapper division. I can make a case for any of them to end up in last place. I don't think any of them will be awful teams, though, and that's why I probably have them above the two divisions behind them. But I also don't see a contender in this division either, you know, so wouldn't shock me if the whoever wins a division with 9 or 10 wins and the division loser has 6 or 7 wins. So they're kind of middle of the road. They're fifth on my list here. They're sixth on my list here. NFC North is fifth. Green Bay is very good, but I don't think they're quite the powerhouse or the second tier behind New England. I would think they're kind of a third tier team. I think Minnesota is a lot better than the people are giving credit for right now, and I think I'm going to be higher on them than most. I think I'll be optimistic about the Bears, that they're better than a true bottom feeder. They were so injured last year. I mean, that can't keep up. Not that I'm excited about the quarterback position, but I do think the defense will be respectable. And I'm kind of low on the Lions. As much as I love Matthew Stafford, and I think that offense will be pretty good, I think their defense is still going to be terrible. So, you know, if the Packers are a B-plus team, the Bears are a C-minus team, the Lions are a C, and the, you know, the Vikings are a B type of deal, that ends up being fifth. AFC North, to me, is fifth. I just have, what am I doing here? Yeah, AFC North is fourth. I'm sorry. Pittsburgh, to me, is in that tier right behind New England. You know, in that tier with Seattle. Atlanta's also in that tier for me. I think the Browns are better than terrible. I think they're better than the Niners. I think they're better, certainly, than the Jets. But, you know, they kind of cancel each other out. Steelers, Browns, for sure. And I look at Baltimore and I look at Cincinnati as better than the Miamis of the world in the AFC, probably on par with Houston or so, you know, maybe the one of the best teams. If those two teams were in the AFC South, I could make a strong argument that they would be the leader in the clubhouse to win that division. Baltimore's offense is worrisome. So I kind of look at both those teams as slightly above average. So therefore, this division's kind of slightly above average, which makes them fourth. I think most people would probably have the NFC East second or first in this division, in such a list. I'm just a little down on the Cowboys. I'm probably higher on the Eagles than most. I think the Giants are probably the 8th, 9th, 10th best team in the league. The Redskins are probably the 15th through 18th best team in the league, something like that. Quality division, no bottom feeders. To me, no top-tier teams. Dallas, to me, is not in that conversation. Maybe I'm just wrong about Dallas. I think Dallas is more, like, I think Green Bay is better than Dallas. And I think Seattle is certainly better than Dallas or Atlanta or Pittsburgh. Brings us to the NFC South. I think the NFC South is pretty damn good. And no one seems to be talking about that. I mean, I know everyone's saying, well, they lost Shanahan and that Super Bowl hangover is going to affect them. And I'm not saying Atlanta's going to go back to Super Bowl or the best team in the NFC, but they're great on paper, and Ryan's a big-time guy, and Julio, and great running game, and defense is young and athletic, and what's to make me think that they're not one of the best teams in the league? The other three, all of the arrow pointing up to me, and all of them could be, I don't know who's the worst of those three. You know, I think all are vastly improved. New Orleans is interesting to me because they always are really good on offense, and I think their defense will be okay. Tampa's vastly improved. Carolina is going to have some luck come back to them, and I have some worries about Newton, but they're surrounding and making his life a lot easier. Defense gets Kuechly back. That front seven's great. I mean, I can make the argument that New Orleans, Tampa, Carolina could all be 10-6. I mean, not that they will be, but I think I could certainly paint the picture where those guys have 10-6 type seasons. So this division not only has a really strong team, but three average to above average teams, and certainly no bottom feeders. So you figured out who's my favorite division. That's the AFC West. And really, they're close with the NFC South because I don't see a bad team in the West, in the AFC West. I see some concerns. I could see Kansas City taking a slight step back. I could see Oakland taking a slight step forward, which would be, you know, substantial considering where they're stepping from. I think San Diego or LA takes two big steps forward, and I'm very high on them. I think Denver could take a step back and they're going to struggle because the offense is going to struggle. But if you know, again, where's the weak link? I mean, if you're playing this division this year, it's not going to be easy. You know, I mean, you're not thrilled that you drew the AFC West on your schedule because they're all tough games, no matter who you are. So that's why I wanted to take this conversation one more step further was, for those of you that don't know, I'm going to do this super quick. We've had this conversation a million times. There's 16 games in a year. Six of them are against your opponents or within your division. That leaves 10 games. Two games are based on where you fell in the standings. And the other eight are against an entire AFC division and an entire NFC division. So what I wanted to do was, you know, tell you guys who everybody plays. The AFC West is the best division in my rankings. They play the AFC East, which is the eighth-ranked division in my rankings, and the NFC East, which is the third-ranked division in mine. The NFC South plays the AFC East, which is the worst division in football to me, and the NFC North, which is the fifth-worst division in football. The NFC East plays the AFC West, who is the best division to me, and the NFC West, which is the seventh-best division to me. The AFC North plays the AFC South, who is sixth, and the NFC North, who is fifth. The NFC North, I know this is a little confusing, I apologize. You're hearing a lot of the same words over and over, but I'll explain it a little better after I spit this out. The NFC North plays the AFC North, which is the fourth best division, and the NFC South, which is the second best division. The AFC South plays the AFC North, which is the fourth best division, and the NFC West, which is a second-to-worst best division. The NFC West plays the AFC South, which is the sixth best division, and the NFC East, which is the third best division. The AFC East plays the AFC West, the best division in the league, and the NFC South, the second best division in the league. So what I did just for fun was, if you combined the AFC division opponent and the NFC division opponent, you came up with a number, and the higher your number, the better. So example, the AFC West plays a combined 11, the eighth best team or the eighth best division and the third best division, you know, so that they're an 11. So to me, the NFC South has the easiest slate ahead of them. They come up with 13, 8 plus 5. The AFC West, the AFC North, the AFC South all combined for an 11. You know, I know this is kind of a different way of looking at strength of schedule, but it's half of your schedule. I mean, it's half of the teams you're playing. The NFC West has a 9. The NFC East has an 8. You know, again, the lower number, the worse. The NFC North, because they play the fourth best division and second best division, is a 6. That's awfully low. And then the AFC East, not only are they the worst division, in my opinion, but they play against a 3. They play against the 1 and the 2. So if you're Buffalo and Miami, and especially the Jets, I mean, you got 4 games against the AFC West and the NFC South. I mean, I don't know the Jets win any of those. And Buffalo might go 1-7 in those. And, oh, by the way, you probably lose 2 to the Pats, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, that the worst division in the league plays the 2 best, and the second best division in the league has the easiest schedule in terms of half of their, you know, half of their actual schedule. So I don't know. That was just something fun to do. I just did that at the end where I figured I'd add them up and just see who's is tougher. But again, that's 80 or 16 games, and the division games are kind of their own beast to begin with. Check out our buddies at Warby Parker, and I will be back probably maybe tomorrow. All right. Take care.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.